Someone keeps bringing you bad news. If again and again and again they keep reminding you of all your difficulties and faults, you're likely to get frustrated and downcast. It's probable that you might even find that emotionally draining and be depressed. What a joy it is when people keep on speaking like that, to have the glimmer of hope, to have the delight of knowing that Jesus is Lord, and of someone to encourage you. And Paul, at the beginning of his letter to the Romans, has been in these opening chapters banging away, hammering at the theme of man's lack of righteousness. He has, over the first three chapters up until chapter 3 verse 21, been reminding and speaking again and again that Jew and Gentile have nothing to commend them to God, that we have no righteousness in us. That's not to say that Paul has not given a glimmer of hope, because he has. Back in chapter 1, verse 17, he speaks there about a righteousness being revealed or being made known, the good news of the gospel. However, fearing that he might be misunderstood and to get his point across, he wants to be sure that people recognize, know, that there is no one worthy, not even one. And that's what we noted last week in verses 9 to 20 of chapter 3. We will all give an account to God, and God is the one who searches out the heart. And he repeats it again and again: no one righteous. He quotes, of course, from Psalm 14 or Psalm 53, and he quotes from other parts to make that point. And so what a real blessing it is. What a ray of great, like a great ray of sunshine in the darkness, comes verse 21, when Paul then begins and says, but now a righteousness from God has been made known. But now. And that word, but now, has tremendous impact in different places. We come across those kind of phrases. Things are painted as dark, and then we have a but now. And this is one of the most significant of those times when in our the Word of God we have but now. But now there is a righteousness apart from the law. Here's a righteousness that comes from a completely different place, from God. It is a but now that contrasts that which is under the law and the righteousness that there is only in law keeping with a righteousness that is made known in a completely different way. It contrasts the past, when the people read the law and felt that there was no way of righteousness. Yes, it spoke, as we'll see, about righteousness to come. But here we have a but now. There's a righteousness revealed. So Paul brings this great shaft of light into our sinfulness, into our lack of righteousness. In the past, one would have been wondering, how can I ever be righteous? I can't keep the law. Here's Paul's answer, but now. And in fact, he goes through the remainder of the book of Romans, really, and that's what he is dealing with. He is saying, but now. And here is his word to the people. We want to look then today at the righteousness from God. And we want to think, first of all, of the source of this righteousness. Here's what Paul says. It does not come through the law. In fact, all the law could do is to highlight our sinfulness. Paul has made it clear that the only hope for sinful men and women is that they would have a righteousness supplied from some other place. And we need to be righteous before God. Perhaps that's something we need to emphasize. Even though we've been saying we have no righteousness, we need righteousness before God. You cannot ever hope to enter into the presence of a holy God without some righteousness. In fact, without good and pure righteousness. Unless something covers my sin, I cannot appear in the sight of God. Remember, in the Old Testament, people feared the face of God because they knew their sin. And God was holy, and the holy God cannot bear sin. And so we need righteousness to cover our sin. You cannot enter the presence of the holy God as we are, for there is no righteousness in us. And that's what Paul has been trying to get across, both to the Jew and to the Gentile, although more specifically in writing to the Romans, to the Jews who thought that the law was the answer to all their need. Rather, he says, the law shows up your need of righteousness. For you break the law, it highlights your sin. But here's a righteousness which comes from not the law, but from God. Verse 21, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. In other words, this is a righteousness not dependent on the law. That doesn't mean that the law didn't speak about a righteousness, for Paul makes that point. He speaks about the law as actually speaking out about a righteousness that was to come. But when we think about the source of righteousness, there could be no better place for it to come from than the heart, from God Himself. He is the righteous one. Back in verse 17 of chapter 1, Paul had already indicated the same source for a gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Not a righteousness according to law, but a righteousness from God. And it is quite clear that this righteousness from God comes in Jesus Christ. He, being God, became man and was the very righteousness of God. We know that if we want to get to know God, we get to know the Lord Jesus. You want to learn about God the Father? Study the Scripture, study Christ in His life. Remember, He Himself spoke like that in John 14. There He says, if you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Because in Christ, God is there. He is God. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews puts it like this in chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Jesus Christ. He is God, and in Him we see the very source of righteousness, for He is the righteousness of God. And this is the only righteousness that will do. There is no other source that will supply a righteousness that will be helpful or cover our sin. We might think today of someone going to an auction and they see a painting there, maybe by one of the renowned artists, and they think, that's tremendous. And they think, I'm going to buy that painting. They see nothing about it that makes them think that it's not real. It is all the qualities to their eye of that particular artist. The canvas looks exactly as it ought. And even the price tag would indicate that this is indeed a painting by that artist. So he buys it at the auction, pays heavily for it, takes it home, and later someone who really knows their art comes to his home, and he looks at it and he says, "Actually, you've bought a counterfeit. It's a fake." And he's able to point out to little telltale signs, the brush strokes, the way in which the artist's name is written, and other things that say, "This is only counterfeit. It won't do." And once that's discovered, of course, the painting is worthless. Well, maybe not worthless, but it certainly wouldn't command the price of that artist's usual price. Any righteousness that is counterfeit and is flawed won't do. It cannot command. And the righteousness that some people put on by trying to keep the law is just of no value. Paul tells us here that the righteousness which the gospel news tells us about comes from God himself. And friends, that is an incredible fact. God, who created you, has also provided for you a righteousness so that you might again enter into his presence. It is sourced in God. We're not dependent on man or any other thing. God has given it himself. And that's an amazing, incredible fact. In fact, we could just think about that. That God himself, gives you and me, sinners, our righteousness to help us. Secondly, as we turn to these verses, I want to think about the revelation. How was this revealed to us? Now, of course, we've already, in a way, hinted at that, but just note the word that is spoken here. The Authorized Version uses the word manifest. And now our righteousness from God apart from the law has been manifest, or simply made known. And this apart from the law. Thus, the making known, the revelation of the righteousness from God is completely separate from the law, and in a sense without the law. And that is to be highlighted because the law does not add to or in any way is subsidiary to the righteousness that is ours in Jesus Christ. Now, that is not to say that the law, as Paul says, did not speak about righteousness. Paul makes the point here that the law and the prophets testified to it. In other words, they spoke about it coming, but it didn't come from the law. It was outside, over and above the law. The law and the prophets spoke about the coming Messiah, the coming righteousness, but it came from God. It was revealed in Jesus Christ, the God-man. And we have already spoken about how he is the very image of God. And that's how God revealed his righteousness. He sent his one and only Son. Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven, to take the form of a man, to be born of a woman, to come into a world full of sin, and to demonstrate in his life the righteousness of God. He has revealed that righteousness. What an amazing thing that we have known the way of God when we know Christ. Jesus is the very embodiment of the righteousness. He is the perfect man. He lives the life, has lived the life that you and I needed to live. Utter obedience to God in complete and clear unity with the Father. A perfect relationship between the Father and the Son. We must conclude that if we are to see and understand the righteousness that is from God, then it is Jesus Christ we need. He is the one. God can scrutinize his own Son. And what was his verdict? This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus was righteous before the Father. But whenever he scrutinizes me and search out your heart, what do we find? He finds nothing but sin. So the revelation is not out of the law, but apart from the law, in Jesus Christ as Lord. So we've considered the righteousness of God, its source and its revelation, but that poses the question to us, what must we do? How can we attain this righteousness? What do we do to make it our own? Well, here is the simplicity and the wonder of the gospel. This righteousness which has been revealed in Jesus Christ becomes ours, is attributed to your case and to mine through faith. It is as simple as that. Look what we read in verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Here's the wonder of faith. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the righteousness that has been revealed becomes yours. It is attributed to you. It's not difficult. You don't have to fill in long forms. No one looks to see what standard of law keeping you've had and mark you and a score as to whether you've reached a certain level. It's none of that. It is as simple as coming with all your faults and saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I want him to forgive my sin. To have that faith, it's as simple as that. And that very simplicity of the gospel, of course, annoys some people. Some people think that's too simplistic. It couldn't be as easy as that. But friends, that's the gospel. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, if a man is to put his faith in Jesus Christ, he has to recognize his need of a righteousness from God. You must realize that the only hope you have of entering into the presence of your Creator, the Holy God, and dwelling with him in heaven for eternity is if you have your sin covered. And the only way to have that sin covered is simply trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord. Sometimes I do wonder if we are inclined, especially in our circles, to complicate the gospel. Yes, there are many nuances, many aspects of truth, many things that as Christians we need to learn. There is much that we need to deal with in our own souls. But it is a matter of simple faith in Jesus. Knowing your need for forgiveness, God says, trust in me. Put your faith in my Son. And the righteousness that I've revealed in him will be the garment to cover all your sin. And what an amazing thing it is that what Jesus has done, he being the righteousness revealed, gives that righteousness to us. He attributes it or imputes it to your account. And you, in your sin, know that he has taken over your sin. It has been credited to him, and he has suffered under the punishment for sin, so that you might be forgiven. When God the Father looks upon his people who have trusted in Jesus Christ, he sees not your ugly, distorted, sinful character, but he sees his Son and the righteousness that he delights in Jesus Christ. And for some it is the very simplicity of this word of believing that is the stumbling block, because men in their pride and in their arrogance, men and women want to feel, I have done something. Men and women want to feel that somehow I have attained this by my own efforts. Not so. It is by faith. And Paul makes that point as he writes to the Ephesians very clearly. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So if you are in your sin today still, you can do nothing. And the only hope you have is you cry out, Lord, grant me the gift of faith. That's what you need. God to grant you by his mercy and grace the gift of faith. Only then can you have hope. Let me ask you, where is your hope? What is your hope for the future rest on? Too many people put their hope in what they have done. Or they say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I have done this and I have done the other. Friends, the only place for hope to rest, it must be solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If your hope even as upon his word, and you say, well, I believe in the word of God, and I have the Bible in my hands, I go to church. If that's where your hope rests, it's worthless. Worthless. It must be on Christ, the Christ of the word, the Savior. This righteousness that has been revealed without and apart from the law. That's the only hope. When you embrace him by faith. For without Christ, there is no righteousness before God. Here then is the source of the righteousness that has been revealed. It is in God. A righteousness revealed in Jesus Christ, and a righteousness that becomes yours through faith. But finally, I want us to just notice the scope that Paul brings in these two verses of this righteousness. Because here were Jews. Here were people in the church, and they were thinking, well, that's fine, so that's for us. But Paul is making the point, not at all. It's for all who believe. That's its scope. It's not just for a certain section of the community. It is for all who believe. He picks this up again in verse 23, 24, when he goes on, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. He brings in a lot more there. All have sinned, so the righteousness that has been revealed is for all who will believe. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all are sinners. So all who believe, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you believe in Jesus, this righteousness can become yours. The person today who has been a churchgoer all his days must come to saving faith in Jesus. Just exactly the same as the person out in the world who has never been taught the shorter catechism, knows nothing of the Bible, but is then spoken to about a Savior who can take away a sin. And suddenly the lights turn on and he realizes, I'm lost from God. He must believe in Jesus Christ. There's no difference between the person brought up in the church or the person outside the church. They must believe that Jesus is Lord. The scope is for all who believe. It is the same for the person who is brought up in the humble abode, in the working class household who goes out every day to lift the bins or do whatever it is their job is. It's exactly the same for that person as it is for the mighty prince in the palace. They must believe in Jesus. It is for all who believe and embrace this righteousness that is revealed in Christ for themselves. There is no difference. No difference concerning ethnic origin or status in society or land in which you live. It is for all who believe. So today, as we go out to preach the gospel, it is for those who are brought up as under the system of Buddha. It is for those who are in Islam, for whoever believes, for all who believe in Jesus will be saved. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith today? The message is for you. And you can't say, well, I have come to church and I know the Bible. You still have to have the same saving faith in Jesus Christ. For he alone is the one who can break the dominion of Satan and sin. We are all sinners. And only in the righteousness of Christ will we be counted worthy before God. Here then is God's word to our hearts. But now, what wonderful words. Here we are, sinful people, non-righteous. God searches out our hearts, as Paul spoke in those previous verses. And what does he say? There is no one righteous, not even one. Our throats are an open grave, nothing but filth and terrible things. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So there we have its source. It's from the Father, from God himself. It's revealed to us apart from the law in Jesus Christ. We can only have that righteousness as your own by faith. And it is to all who will believe. Amen.